Tonight, Fletcher Markle and Rosemary Rice star in The Constant Nymph from Studio One at CBS.
Dearest heart, I want us to be together always. I want you to be my wife.
If you'd only waited.
If I'd waited. Oh, Tessa, say it. Say it.
I loved you. I promised myself to you ever so long ago. But it's too late now.
We invite you to Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's great novels, stories, and plays in special versions for listening. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Tonight, for our farewell performance of this series from Studio One, we have a story for you about one of the most original families in all modern literature. Their friends called them Sanger's Circus, and they were indeed as bright and gay as a summer's day at a county carnival. But then, one day, the great Sanger died, and that changed everything. It changed the lives of his children in ways which they had not believed possible. Most of all, it changed things for Tessa Sanger. Her story is told by Margaret Kennedy in The Constant Nymph. And to play the part of Tessa for you, we have with us in Studio One tonight one of the most charming and talented actresses of stage and radio, Miss Rosemary Rice. With Miss Rice, you'll be hearing Kathleen Cordell as Florence, Hedley Rennie as Charles, and I'm going to remain at the microphone with them to play Lewis Dodd. Please to begin.
Albert Sanger is dead.
Hmm? Who's that, Father?
Albert Sanger, the man who ruined your poor Aunt Evelyn's life.
Oh, Albert Sanger, of course. But who on earth's writing you about him? His widow? He did marry again, didn't he?
Being Sanger, he probably married a dozen times. No, this letter's from a musical impresario who appears to be very proud of having produced some of Sanger's operas. Max Kleber, he signs himself. German, I should think. Prosperous, too, I gather. Owns 12 theaters on the continent.
Oh, that does sound prosperous. But why
He's writing to me about Evelyn's children. I am their uncle, after all, and it seems they're quite destitute. Typical of Sanger to die penniless and leave a brood of 8 behind him.
8? Well, surely they can't all be Aunt Evelyn.
Oh, no, no, only 4 of them. But unfortunately, they seem to be the worst off. Kleber's found jobs in an opera chorus for the 2 Sanger had before he married Evelyn. And the widow, there is a widow, has simply taken her own too and decamped.
You mean she just walked out and left Aunt Evelyn's children alone?
So Kleber says. They have a roof over their heads. Sanger somehow acquired a chalet in the Tyrol, but... Oh, Florence, this is extraordinary.
What is it, Father?
Listen to what he writes. I wish myself to pay for the little boy, your nephew, for 5 years of school. Also, I will pay something if you place your nieces in a suitable establishment for girls. I do this gladly, for he loved their father.
But how very generous. I know you always loathe Sanger, but he must have had something besides talent to inspire a gesture like that.
My word, here's another communication from Switzerland.
Picture postcard.
Yes. Odd way to write about anything so serious, but it has the merit of being brief. Look, my dear.
Let's see. Are you thinking of taking the girls away? You should. If money's short, I could let you have £50. More later if I get it. Yours, Lewis Dodd. Lewis Dodd! Father, this must be the young composer who wrote Symphony in 3 keys.
Hmm?
Do you remember? I heard it in Brussels last summer.
No, but in any event, he seems to have got £50 out of it. See here, Florence, what's to be done about those children?
What's to be done? Well, we'll go and get them and bring them back here, of course. Oh, but you can't just let them stay there with no one to look after them.
Well, that's what's worrying me. I can't possibly get away from Cambridge this month. And yet, as you
well,
say...
Well, then there's nothing for it but for me to go out and get them myself.
I'm not sure I should let you do that.
Oh, nonsense. I'd enjoy it. May I see that letter from Max Kleber a moment?
Yes, Signora.
Thank you, Angel. He even tells you his age. 28. Seems young for a prosperous impresario. Ah, here's what I'm looking for. The eldest of your nieces, Antonia, called Tony, is 17. Teresa, called Tessa, is 15. Paulina, called Lena, is 12. And your nephew, Sebastian, is 10. Oh, how German that is. So thorough.
Hmm?
Teresa, called Tessa. They sound completely quaint and charming. Like children in an old-fashioned book.
Scarcely children, my dear, and scarcely old-fashioned.
Well, Tessa, how do I sound?
Like a hyena with its tail caught in a crack.
Oh!
Really, Tony, you ought to be beaten for not practicing oftener.
That's a filthy lie.
If Sanger were still alive, he would beat you. He always said you were the laziest one in the family.
Max Kleber doesn't think I need any more practice. He thinks I'm ready for a concert right now.
Oh, Max must have gone stark raving foolish.
He says he's never heard such feeling and temperament in a girl of 17. He says he'll give me a concert in Munich anytime I want if I... Well, anytime I want.
If you're what, Tony? Oh, I see.
Tessa, I'm not ready for a concert. Max knows it. The swine, it was just another bribe, like the clothes and the jewelry and all the rest. Except it was even more insulting.
Poor Tony. You love him, don't you?
I hate him. Boasting about what he could give me with his disgusting money when I'd have gone away with him if he didn't have a penny to his name. And now he thinks he can make everything all right by asking me to marry him.
But, Tony, perhaps Max doesn't understand
that. I'll never speak to him again. Why doesn't he go away? Why does he keep hanging around here?
He'll go as soon as the English cousin gets here. And so will Louis.
Good riddance to them both. Oh, I don't really mean it about Louis, darling. I know how you feel about him.
Everyone seems to have guessed, except Louis.
Well, Tessa, you are rather young for him. But at least he's fond of you, and he'll probably fall in love with you when you're my age.
I'll probably never see Louis again after Cousin Florence takes us to England.
I won't go to England. Oh, Tessa, what shall I do?
If I were you, Tony, dear, I'd practice.
You would?
Yes, Tony. That was very good, Sebastian. You did take the second movement too fast, though.
Did I, Tessa? Oh, I expect you're right. I wonder if there'll be anyone in England I can study with.
Oh, I suppose there must be.
I mean someone who'll work seriously with me. Forget all this infant prodigy nonsense.
Louis might know. He hates England, but he was raised there.
Louis Dodd and I are not speaking.
Why ever not?
Because he chased me away again from the piano downstairs. Why must I always be the one that has to break his hands on this old wreck?
Oh, you aren't, Sebastian. Louis is very fair
no,
about
No, I might have known you would defend him. But thanks for the criticism, Tess. It was very helpful. I guess it always is.
Fie, my lord. Fie, a soldier and a feared. What need we fear? Who knows it when none can call our power to account?
Bravo! Bravissimo, Linda! Just like the great Dusa.
Ah, thank you, Roberto, carissimo. Tessa, what did you think?
I think you're better in French, Lena, particularly in Racine.
Yes, I never overact in French. I'd better take Sanger's advice and study for the Comédie Française. Oh, but Tessa, how can I? We're going to England.
Oh, dear. Roberto, cook your best for us these last few days. We'll need all our strength and all our memories for what's before us.
Every night I prepare a banquet. You shall remember, Roberto, I swear.
Oh, grazie tanto, Roberto mio. All finished for the morning, Lena? Let's go look up Louis.
You're sure we won't be disturbing him? He's horribly cross today.
Who ever heard of disturbing Louis Dodd when he didn't want them to? Come on, Lena. Bye, Roberto.
Thanks again for cueing me, Roberto. Wait for me, Tessa.
Yes, young Tessa, here I am, alone and from choice.
What's wrong, my sunbeam? Too much to drink again last night?
Oh, then he's guzzled up all that was left of Sanger's brandy.
Little Lena's with us, too, all very nice.
Sanger always said that anyone who had to use a piano to compose wasn't a musician at all, just a tune hunter.
Blast Sanger and all his miserable progeny.
Lewis, we wanted to ask you if the telegram's come from the English cousin yet.
No, Tessa, it hasn't, as you very well know.
But shouldn't it? The letter came from the English uncle over a week ago. He said the English cousin would...
The arrangement, Tessa, is for your cousin Florence to telegraph us as soon as she's reached Innsbruck and found out what boat she can catch to bring her across the lake to Weissau. No telegram yet means she hasn't reached Innsbruck yet. Is that clear?
I told you he was nastier than usual today, Tessa.
Will the two of you get out of here?
Ah, Louis.
Max.
I must speak to you alone. I have need of your help, Madpoint. Your advice.
Oh, but certainly, Max. I haven't a single other thing to do.
Oh, don't pay any attention to him, Max. He's in one of his black moods. What is it? Something about Tony?
Him. She has told you, Tessa?
Yes, I was talking to her about it before I came downstairs. Really, Max, you should have known better.
Have I not cursed myself a thousand times? Have I not begged her to forgive me? But it is no use. She will not even answer when I speak.
You haven't begged her to forgive you for what hurt her the most. Well, she didn't mind so much your asking her to go away with you.
Oh, so that's it.
Lewis, you stay out of this. This is a family affair.
You want my advice, eh, Max? Well, that's simple. Pack your bag and get out of here before Miss Churchill arrives from England. I hardly think she'll take a very understanding view of your plans for Tony.
Oh, Lewis, can't you see he's miserably ashamed of those plans? What Tony can't forgive, Max, is you're trying to bribe her with clothes and things, offering her a concert, as though she were... Well, quite a different sort of person.
But what have I to offer Tony except my money and things that can buy her? Look at me. I grow fat. The hair grows thin. In 2 years, I shall be 30. And she, always she has been like a beautiful star above me.
Very touching, but I notice you grabbed for the star the first chance you got.
Wait, Lewis. Max, are you saying you really love Tony?
So much that my heart bursts. But Lewis is right. When Sanger died, when I saw Tony unhappy at the thought of the English school, I grabbed.
Uh-huh.
For a little while, I thought, perhaps she will let me take care of her and give her a thing. I was a wicked fool.
You were a fool, certainly. Didn't it once occur to you she might love you for yourself?
What is this you're saying, Tessa?
Oh, don't you see? Instead of telling her you needed her, you kept trying to persuade her she needed you, or rather your money. Max, she wants to give you her love. But she can't when you seem to have so little use for it. Asking her to marry you just looks like another bribe to her now.
But if I ask her again, if I show her my heart...
Tessa can't answer that, Max. Only Tony can.
Enough. Out. Out, you two. I came here to work. Work, do you hear?
No, really.
I understand, Lewis. Come, Lena. We'll go away.
Tessa, you may stay if you like.
Well, thank you, Lewis. You're sure you don't mind?
Just sit here. Be quiet. Well?
I'm being quiet.
Oh, darling Tess. You're the flower of the flock. I shall miss you.
Then why did you write for an English jailer to come and take me away?
Oh, now, don't talk rot. Your relatives aren't jailers. With them, you'll be safe.
Safe? From what?
It's just that you're so young. You've never had any real looking after, any discipline.
Discipline? What a horrid word. And how old were you when you ran away from England and discipline?
17. 2 years older than you. Besides, I was a boy. Girls are different, particularly girls like you Sangers. You're all so warm-hearted and reckless. You've no defenses against people like Max Kleber. I won't have you hurt, Tess, the way Tony's been.
Dear Lewis, Tony was only hurt... because Max couldn't see she loved him. Men are so incredibly blind.
There's Tess out of her immense worldly wisdom.
It's not wisdom that makes me know that.
If Max had seen Tony's real feelings, he'd have approached her differently, and she might have ruined her life for him.
You mean she wouldn't have escaped pain either way. But love is pain. I know.
No, you don't, and you never shall. You'll do the rest of your growing up in a protected English home.
Can they really protect you from love in England? What an extraordinary place.
I don't suppose you'll be coming there yourself, will you, Louis?
Not I. I've got this concerto started, and I was never able to get any decent work done in my own dear country. Not that I've been able to get anything done here, either, so far.
I know it's been difficult for you since Sanger died. I'll go away now and let you work.
No, I'm stale today. Besides, I promised Roberto I'd go down to Weissau and buy some meat for supper. Why don't you round up Lena and Sebastian and come along? We'll have a swim in the lake and gorge ices at the cafe.
Oh, Louis, that would be marvelous. We'll swim and eat and bring home a pig. It'll be quite like old times, won't it?
Yes, it will.
Afternoon.
Oh, yes. It's too bad you couldn't have come to the slaughterhouse with us, Louis.
I thought it might be pleasant to stay here at the cafe and keep Sebastian company.
I shall never understand the pleasure they take in visiting slaughterhouses.
That's because you've got the soul of a clod. It's quite like the bullfight. You know the gleam of steel, the thrust, the spasm, the death.
Lena, no more, please.
You got a nice pig, Tess?
Oh, a beautiful, smooth, pink one. All scrubbed and gutted. And wait until you see what we've done with her.
I think I can guess. Tessa, where's your hat?
Louis! Tessa! Liebling!
It's Max and Tony! Oh, yes. Tony, we didn't know you two were coming down to the village.
We weren't, darling Tessa. We came down especially to find all of you.
We have an announcement. Tony, Antonia has consented to be my wife.
Well, Max, welcome to the
family.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tony, I'm so happy for you.
That I should live to be so happy. Tonight we celebrate with champagne.
Champagne and pig, magnanimissimo. Oh, come and see my lovely pig. Come on. My lovely, lovely pig.
Tess, where?
Right here in the carriage.
Little monkey, I've guessed already.
Well, don't look yet. Just a minute till I fix her scarf. Now, you may look. Oh! It's just like Fräulein Brandt, the fat contralto, isn't it?
To the last pink wrinkle, to the last hair on her chin.
Just as she looked when I gave her the concert in Mülheim.
I beg your pardon, but aren't you the Sanger? I heard one of you calling the other Tessa.
Oh, I'm so terribly sorry. I must have been mistaken.
The English cousin.
Then you are the Sangers. I'm Florence Churchill.
Oh, how do you do, Cousin Florence? I am Sebastian Sanger.
How do you do?
May I present my sister, Tony?
How do you do?
The fiancé, Herr Max Klaver. My sister's Tessa.
How do you do?
Nina.
Hello. How do you do?
Mr. Louis Dodd.
How do you do?
I'm so happy to know all of you.
Oh, but Cousin Florence, we would have met you. Your telegram never came.
Well, so I just learned from the post office. There's no harm done, though. We have met, and now we can all drive up to the house together.
But of course, Gnadius Fräulein. This is the carriage here. Permit me to open the door.
Max Dunkert, no!
Thank you, Herr Kleber. Oh, how horrible. How perfectly disgusting.
Oh, the pig.
I'm terribly sorry, Miss Churchill. This is those brats' idea of humor, filthy little savages. I'll get another carriage for
you. Antonia and I have already engaged one, Louis. Hmm? If the gracious Fräulein will accompany us, it is only down the street of steps.
Come along, Miss Churchill. I'll take your bag.
See you at the house, children. And don't look so stricken. It's quite all right.
Oh, how perfectly awful. The way Louis apologized for us. As if we were nothing but street urchins.
You laughed at your pig just as much as any of us, more.
Then he turned around and acted as if he'd been as disgusted as she was. I don't understand, Tessa. Oh,
dearest Lena, didn't you notice? Cousin Florence is very pretty. She's more than that. She's beautiful. She's doing what she thinks is best for us.
Packing us off to an English school where they'll teach us how to play games.
Yes, I suppose.
I hate her.
Oh, you couldn't, Lena. She's only been here a week.
Have you noticed how Louis looks at her?
Yes, I've noticed. Oh, I wouldn't mind his getting her if that's all there was to it. But that'll be just the beginning.
He wouldn't marry her.
She's a lady. Ladies make you marry them. And she'll try to turn him into a gentleman, and he'll be miserable.
Maybe she won't have him. She wouldn't if she ever saw him drunk or in a temper. In some ways, you know, Lewis is worse than Sanger was. Oh, Tessa, what are we to do?
What we're told to. What else can we? Go off with her to that school in England, straight from Tony's wedding, and that'll be the end of all of us. After Tony's wedding, we break up and scatter.
Yes. Well, one thing, Lewis is scattering, too. He's off to Barcelona. And that'll be the end of Florence.
And it'll be the end of me. Oh, Lena, don't you see? I'll be as far away from Lewis as Florence is. I'll be in England, too.
Very much, Max, getting out on the platform and seeing if Lewis and Florence are coming yet?
Oh, Tessa, they'll come as soon as they check the baggage. Why bother Max?
No, no, Sebastian, it is nothing. I shall go and see what is detaining them so
long. Poor Max, poor Max. He's discovering already what it means to be a brother-in-law.
Oh, Tony, dear, you are such a beautiful bride. I almost wept.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Max really outdid himself with that wedding breakfast.
Oh, especially the champagne and the ices. I've never had enough of either of them before.
And poor sweet Roberto, he was so drunk when we put him on his bus from Milano.
They are here. They are back, little Tessa.
I'm afraid we did cut it rather fine.
Yes, we did.
Well, children, start saying your goodbyes. Train starts in a minute. You won't be saying goodbye to Lewis for very long. He's coming to England quite soon.
Coming to England? Wait, Lewis, I thought you said you'd
well,
never...
Well, I hadn't met Florence then. Florence and I, we're going to be married, you see.
Married?
Florence? Oh, he's
but
not you... serious.
Well, you're not but, at all suited to each other.
But how wonderful. All happiness, Gladys Fräulein. Lewis, you are a fortunate man.
Oh, thank you, Max. I really... A Tess. What is it? What's wrong?
Well, the poor child's ill. She's possibly blue.
I ate too many ices, I suppose. Seven.
Seven ices, you foolish little glutton.
Quick, Lewis, she's going to faint.
But, Lena, she didn't eat seven ices. She hardly finished her second.
Be quiet, Sebastian. That's what she wants Lewis to believe, and he does. You know, this is the first time I've ever known Lewis to be really stupid. School have bells that make you jump out of your skin. Oh, what's that one for, Tessa?
End of social period, beginning of study period. I should think after being here 4 months you'd remember that much, Lena.
I don't remember social period because nobody ever comes in to be social anymore. Well,
they never came to be social. Just to look at us the way you go to a zoo. Hand me my English history, will you?
Here.
Thanks.
I think I'll write a letter.
Oh, that piano again. What have we done to deserve this?
With Betty Lane practicing. Somebody ought to chop off her hands. Tess, how do you spell suicide?
You're not writing Lewis again.
Yes, I am. He's ignored every letter so far, but
I... won't answer this one either. Lewis has a forgetful nature. He'll only get another note from Florence saying we're here at Cleve for our own good.
I think I'll tell him we're going to hang ourselves. That sounds more definite.
Dina. Lewis is Florence's husband now. And it's not fair to ask him to take our side against her. Besides, he's probably changed. You can't marry and settle down in a London house without...
As if Lewis could ever settle down.
But he has. And it must be good for him. He's finished his concerto, hasn't he? And Max and Tony say it's the best thing he's ever done.
Oh, to think of Max and Tony having a wonderful time in London while we rot here. Oh, prison would be better. Come in.
Well, young Sangers, talking are you? And you should be swatting at your books.
We were discussing the rump parliament, Miss Thwing.
You have a visitor, your brother.
Sebastian!
Oh. Yes, seems his school has a holiday, and Mr. Charles Churchill brought him down to see you.
Uncle Charles? Well, that's strange.
You have permission to talk to him till bed bell. Poor Lena, your hands are all over ink. Well, I suppose Sebastian's used to having grubby little pigs for sisters. Come along now, nip it!
Oh, you're wonderful, Sebastian. How did you ever make them think Uncle Charles brought you?
Oh, I said he was resting at the inn after the trip and would come by to see you tomorrow.
Oh, and you really run away from your school forever? Oh, I wish we could.
Yes, I thought you might feel that way. That's why I stopped by. You have morning prayers here, I presume?
Yes, the whole school, mistresses and everybody.
Yes. Well, then, you see, it's really quite simple. While they're praying, you slip out, you meet me at the railway station.
Sebastian, you're a genius. Oh, but where will you stay tonight?
Oh, I'll manage. I spotted a vacant house that'll do very nicely.
Oh, you know Florence will send us right back.
If we put our cases strongly, Lewis will back us up.
Then there'll be a row between
you. What of it? Lewis will win. Sanger always did.
I knew Tess would make objections. She doesn't mind it here half as much as I do. She has a valvular lesion and gets out of playing field hockey.
What's a valvular lesion?
Something to do with her heart. The school doctor found it. I mind Cleve more than you do, Lena. It's worse for me because I'm older. Nothing is worse than field hockey.
Well, Tessa, are you coming with us?
I shouldn't. But I will. I will. Yes, Sebastian, tomorrow.
From Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you are hearing Fletcher Markle and Rosemary Rice, starring in The Constant Nymph, a version for listening by Elizabeth and James Hart, based on the Margaret Kennedy novel. Our story will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Studio One, we continue tonight's full hour dramatic entertainment. Fletcher Markle and Rosemary Rice star in Mr. Markle's production of The Constant Nymph.
Lewis, why aren't you more surprised to see us? You act almost as though you'd been expecting us.
Well, so I was, Tess, ever since the telegrams came from Cleve and Sebastian's school. They were addressed to Florence, but since she's in Cambridge,
Florence isn't in London? That's good.
Did you phone her and tell her about the telegrams?
Oh, not I, Sebastian. She might have thought up a way to have you stopped and sent back before you got here.
Oh, darling, Lewis. I believe you're pleased we ran away. Tessa didn't think you would be. She said you were sure to have changed.
Oh, she did she? Come here, Tess, and let me have a real look at you. You're the one that's changed, my girl. Why have you got your hair in that horsetail braid?
It's for neatness, my good man. An English schoolgirl must be neat above all things.
You look much better with it blowing loose about your shoulders like this.
Ouch! Louis, stop! That's my only hair of it.
Good, into the fire with it.
Burn mine, too, Louis. Here.
And here's my school tie. It'll make a lovely blaze.
Well, master, do we suit you now?
You don't. What have they done to you at that place, Tess? It's not just the clothes and the hair. You're stiffer, silverer, more like other people.
Well, wasn't that the purpose of sending me to Cleve, to tame me?
I was a fool.
Oh, I expect you'll change back, Lewis. Say, where do you keep the piano? Can we see the rest of your house?
Florence's house, you mean. She bought and furnished it.
No.
Are all the other rooms as neat and sort of chilly as this one?
Our whole house, my dear Lena, is pleasantly bohemian in tone. A sort of civilized Sanger circus with all the charm and none of the disorder. Exactly the right background for a rising young composer like me.
Ooh, what does that rot mean?
Don't ask me, Tess. I'm quoting Florence. Look, all of you must be starving. I'll see if Roberto can get us something to eat.
Roberto, are you kidding me?
Oh, Roberto! Oh,
Florence and in the theater. Come to us. A picturesque servant helps the atmosphere.
Roberto! Who be donno es? I come!
Oh, che chiaro di Roberto, amico mio!
Oh, Dorothea! It is the bambini! The bambini!
Oh, someone at our screws! I go open!
Oh, no, stop him, Louis! It may be the police for us.
Nonsense. Won't be the police. It's either Florence back or Max and Tony. I phoned them. You'd probably show
Roberto,
up here.
Roberto! Sono qui!
Oh. La famiglia all together now!
Tony! Oh, Tony!
Oh, my angel! Me, Tony!
Oh, Tony, Tony!
So do you, darling. Sebastian, my precious, kiss me. Oh, it's been
Tony.
Max, dear Max.
Leave it, Tessa. Ah, this is a happy sight. Nick Louis.
Sanger Circus was always my favorite show, Max. Roberto, bring tea for everybody, will you? We'll have it in the music room.
And Roberto, some real food, please. Have you any salami and a good smelly cheese?
Si, Sebastiano mio. I bring a bella gorgonzola.
Gorgonzola. And they'll be eating boiled mutton at Cleve tonight. Oh, Lita, I'm glad we ran away. This is coming home.
Well, school hasn't ruined Sebastian's playing, thank heaven. I hope our baby will be as good as Tim.
I'm so glad you and Max are going to have a baby, Tony.
We want you to be a godmother, Tessa. And Louis, godfather. Louis! Oh, where's he gone?
He's showing Lena the house. I'd love to be godmother, Tony. But if Louis is to be godfather, shouldn't you ask Florence instead?
Oh, no. We do not want her. Florence has not been gracious to my Tony. We are in London a month, and this is the first time we are in her home.
Truly, Max? Well, I don't understand. She seemed so fond of Tony when we were in the Tyrol.
Ach, in the Tyrol, the Sangers were picturesque, gemütlich. Even I was tolerable. But in London, well, none of us are correct enough to blend with Florence's friends.
Louis doesn't blend either. He calls them snobs and musical drumcups. He runs off from their parties to see Max and me. Some of them going to put on Sanger's Prester John. They asked him to conduct, but he turned them down. Florence is furious.
Oh, but Prester John is such a bad opera, Tony. Well, you know how ashamed of it Sanger was himself. Louis was very fond of Sanger, and I can see why he hated
him. Of course we can see, but Florence can't.
They have quarreled, and Florence pays this visit to her father to make Louis forgiving, I think. Here he comes. I would not say he has a forgiving air at all.
Well, Tess, Lena, and I have sent telegrams to Cleve and to Sebastian's school.
You look very pleased with yourselves. What did you say?
Oh, that you were here, safe, that sort of thing, eh, Lena?
Oh, yes, that sort of thing.
Well, don't start playing, Sebastian.
Oh, you take over a while, Louis. I want to toast another muffin on the fireplace.
We certainly must up the room.
Oh, it looks fine. Every room in the Silver Star would be better for some mussing.
The Silver Star? You call your house that?
Yes, it's from an old nursery tune, the theme for the second movement of my concerto. Hadn't thought of the song for years. Must have churned up out of my subconscious while I was working here. Well, it's a most appropriate theft, anyhow. Listen to this.
Yes, I see. But I still like the first movement better.
Ah, if all were like the first movement. But no matter. London must hear it in March, I think. At Regent's Hall.
Max, are you going to give Louis a concert?
If he does, will you come, Tessa?
The combined armies of the world couldn't stop me.
And move your chair up beside me. I'll play you the first movement. If it's good, that's because it's about the Tyrol and you. Mostly you.
Meaning of this? Answer me!
Florence! We didn't see you.
No! 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 No!
I don't blame you, dear boy. Naturally, you were absorbed. You were playing. But the others were only listening.
Yes, and they know how to listen. Not like your tittering, jabbering, so-called musical friends.
Do it.
Well, I'm sorry, Florence. I've I don't want to quarrel. I want to talk to you quietly and seriously about the children's future. What's to be done about their schools now that
they've come back? They're to go back tomorrow, of course.
But they were miserable.
Rubbish. Cleve turns out a splendid type.
Well, who wants a type? That place has already hurt Tessa. She was very nearly perfect when she went there.
Tessa was very nearly perfect? Louis, are you insane?
Florence, has your friend Leyburn and his crowd found a conductor yet for Sanger's opera?
Why, no, I'm almost sure they haven't.
I'll make a bargain with you. Keep the children here for a while, and I'll tell Leyburn tomorrow that I've changed my mind. I'll be glad to do Prestigeon for them.
Oh, Louis, you won't regret it, my dear. The Nine Muses Club is the most talked-about musical group in London. Everything they do attracts attention.
It is a bargain, then?
Well, the Christmas holidays are very near. The children will be coming back in 10 days anyhow. Yes, Louis, it's a bargain. I'll keep them here until midterm commence.
Thank you, Florence. That'll give us time to find new schools for them. I think we might try to get Sebastian into Dr. Noxon's conservatory. Noxon's a sound man.
But Louis...
And Lena wants to study for the stage in Paris. There's a school there connected with the Comédie Française.
Louis, really? And what career shall Tessa train for? Ballet?
Well, Tessa hasn't any special talent like the others.
No. You amaze me. A girl who's very nearly perfect.
Well, she can live with us and go to day school. There must be some quiet, smallish place.
Cleve is the best school in England. Teresa will simply have to make more of an effort to adjust herself.
Now, see here, don't forget our bargain.
All I promised was to keep the lot of them here over the holidays. At midterm, they return to their present school.
And your little crowd of precious, squeaking amateurs can put on Prestigeon without me.
Very well. You're foolish enough to refuse to help your own career.
Blast my career! If I need help, I'll go to someone who knows music, someone like Max Kleber. He's not grand enough for you to invite here to dinner, but he's giving me a concert just the same this spring at Regent's Hall.
What? Why, Louis, how simply marvelous. Why didn't
you... Oh, stow it. So you'll force the children to go back to schools they hate, will you? Well, just for your information, I'm afraid their schools won't take them back, not after the telegrams I sent.
What do you mean? What did you say in those...
Here, look for yourself. Here's a copy of the one I sent Cleve.
Sanger's sisters with us. They are never coming back to your stupid school. Signed, Louis Dodd. Louis, how could you? How dared you?
I simply did.
I thought Florence had taken you to the rehearsal at Regent's Hall.
I begged off, Tessa. I came down from Cambridge to hear my son-in-law conduct a concert, but watching him rehearse is more than I bargained for.
Oh, rehearsals are fun. The conductor swears at the musicians and they swear back.
Exactly. You were raised amid such scenes, but to an elderly schoolmaster, they're alarming. But why aren't you at the rehearsal?
Florence thought I'd be in the way. I'm glad now, though, because it gives me a little time with you. Well, you visit us so seldom and... I'd like to know my only uncle better.
And I, my only niece. Well, strictly speaking, you're not that, but with Antonia married and Paulina in Paris now. How does she like her school, by the way?
Lena's blissfully happy. So Sebastian. We hardly ever see him since he got into Dr. Noxon's conservatory. He only comes home to practice and sleep.
And you, my dear, I don't like the way you're looking. Have you had any more of those pains in your heart?
Well, not to amount to anything. Perhaps I'm outgrowing them. I was 16 last month.
Hmm. Tessa, has Florence had a doctor to see you?
Yes, right after the fainting spell I had at Christmas. He was a funny old thing. But I'll always bless him because he said I wasn't to be sent off to any school before spring.
But my dear child, what's to be done with you? I'd back you up if you wanted to specialize as Paulina and Sebastian are doing, but...
But I can't. I know what talent is, and I have none. I love music. I love apples, too, but that doesn't mean I'd make a good fruit grower.
Father! Father!
Florence.
Oh, here you are. You really should have come to the rehearsal. Louis was wonderful.
Of course. Sanger always said Louis was one of the finest conductors alive. And after tomorrow night, the London music critics will say so, too.
And will they say he's a great composer?
Not this time. Some of the concerto was beautiful, but then...
Suppose we leave the verdict on the concerto to people who are competent to give it. Tessa, will you ask Roberto to bring tea? Louis will be along in a moment. He's putting away the car.
Yes, Florence.
And tidy your hair before you come back.
I'll do my best.
Florence, my dear, you snub that little girl too often. I asked her for her opinion on the concerto, you know. She understands a good deal about music.
No music. The Sanger children think they invented it.
I thought it wouldn't take you long to exhaust the charms of the Sanger children.
Well, I can do with the others, but I don't like Tessa.
Exactly. You don't like her, and you make no secret of it. Is that fair?
Louis thinks I'm unfair, too. That's because she takes you both in. There's something sly about Tessa. Something too knowing about the way she handles men.
Florence, you should be ashamed. What's happened to you, my child? What's made you so warped and bitter?
I'm sorry.
Churchill, here you are. I hear you had the good sense not to let yourself be dragged to the rehearsal.
I'm afraid rehearsals are a specialized taste I've never cultivated, my boy.
Tea'll be right along, Louis.
Good.
Ah, here's Roberto now. Put the things down here, Roberto, please.
Yes, si, signor.
Oh, dear me. Why did you bring these great thick kitchen cups?
Excuse, signora,
I'm afraid it's my fault, Florence. I told him to bring big cups because Uncle Charles likes them.
All men like big cups, Tess, but most women won't let us have them, right, Mr. Churchill?
Oh, very well. We'll use these, Roberto.
Si, signora. Grazie.
You take two lumps, don't you, Father?
Yes, thank you.
Tessa, what have you done to your hair? Fearfully unbecoming dragged back like that.
I thought you'd like it. It's at least tidy.
I like it. Makes her look like that picture in your bedroom, Florence, the lady with the towel around her head.
The Michelangelo Delphic Sibyl? Oh, what not?
Oh, but he's right. The resemblance is definite.
The Delphic Sibyl has a very noble face.
So is Tessa.
I'm afraid I don't see it. Tess, blowing on your tea is a very vulgar way to cool it.
I'm sorry.
I had a letter from Harrogate today. Miss Cassidy thinks since you're so backward, you'd better be entered as a junior.
How does she know I'm backward?
Because I told her.
I know three languages beside English.
But nothing else. Nothing.
She's just saying this for your own good, Tessa. It's always for your good when she's nasty.
Then do it.
So it's quite settled, is it? She's to go to Harrogate?
Quite. She'll leave the day after your concert.
Day after tomorrow?
That's very short notice, my dear.
We postponed and shilly-shallied long enough, Father.
But I wanted to discuss an alternative plan. I thought Tessa might come and live with me at Cambridge and be specially tutored.
It's settled, Father. School is what she needs.
And just how long is she to stay there?
3 years.
What?
Yes, Louis, it'll take that long to... Oh. Why, where are you going, Tessa? You haven't finished your tea.
I don't want any more. Excuse me, everybody.
You decided all this just now, didn't you, my gentle wife?
Yes, I did.
You're honest, at least. So I'll be honest, too. I'm fed up with England. I'm fed up with the Silver Star and with our marriage. And I'm leaving them all tomorrow night the minute my concert's over.
Well, I've no objection if you want to go abroad a while. The change might be...
Stop it, Florence. If you're trying to make your father think this is just a squabble, I won't let you. We're washed up, you and I. We're through. I'd have walked out months ago if it hadn't been for Tessa. She's the only thing in this house that makes life tolerable. Thank God you forced me to realize it at last. I've been looking everywhere for you. Why on earth are you sitting out here in this confounded fog? Couldn't you find a better place to cry?
Lend me a handkerchief, Louis. It's unladylike to wipe your tears away with your petticoat.
Here you are.
Thank you. Oh, Louis, Louis, Louis.
Dearest Tessa, don't cry. I can't endure it. Come with me.
Come with you? Where?
Anywhere. To Brussels. I'm going tomorrow night, right from my concert.
You're going away? Does Florence know?
Yes, I told her. I can't leave you. You're too dear to leave behind. I thought it was for your sake I didn't want Florence to send you off to school. But really, it was for mine. I love you, Tessa.
Love me? Away, false man. I know thou lovest. I know thou lovest too many.
No, Tessa, only you. Dearest heart, I want us to be together always. I want you to be my wife.
Your wife, Louis? But I can't be. You've got a wife already. Oh, why did you marry Florence if you'd only waited?
If I'd waited... Oh, Tessa, say it, say it.
I loved you. I promised myself to you ever so long ago. But it's too late now.
It's not, Tess. It's not. You still love me, don't you?
Oh, yes. And if it weren't for Florence, I'd rather go away with you than anything in the world.
Well, my marriage with Florence is over. She knows it.
Oh, you're probably right. You and Florence are too unsuited to be happy together. That's not her fault. And if I ran off with you, I'd feel like a traitor.
No, you don't owe Florence anything, not after the way she's treated you.
Oh, I wish I'd never been brought to England. I wish I'd stayed in my own world. But since I am here, I'm going to see it through. I'll go to school. Only before we go back into the house, Louis, I want a last real look at your face. Such a nice face.
Concert in 10 minutes, Tessa.
Why are you lying down? Are you ill?
Oh, I'm quite all right now, Florence. It won't take me a minute to put on my dress. Is Louis very nervous?
Not exactly. He seems more dazed than anything else. I sent Sebastian and Father along with him to make sure he got to Regent's Hall safely.
Then he's already gone.
Of course.
Oh, I'll never see him again.
Well, I won't see him either.
I know, Florence. I'm so sorry.
Sorry? Why, you silly child. I only meant I wouldn't see him for a month or so. He needs a rest and change badly, and I can't get away from London just now. I plan to join him in May. In Italy, perhaps.
Will you help me with these buttons and back?
Really, you should be able to button your own dress. Did you have those heart palpitations again?
I'm all right now, truly.
Oh, you look horrible. It'd be dreadful if you faint and cause a hubbub in the middle of Louis's concerto. I don't think you'd better go to the concert, Tessa.
The combined armies of the world couldn't stop me.
Oh, very well. You can't make any more of a show of yourself than you have already.
What do you mean?
Because I've never spoken of it, don't you think I've seen? I've tried to ignore it, to tell myself you'd be ashamed of it when you were older.
Ashamed of what?
Of openly pursuing a man who doesn't care for you.
But I haven't!
You know you have. Because the man is my husband, I felt I couldn't speak to you about it. Even when you were embarrassing him dreadfully by the way you threw yourself at his head. But
I cannot you say these things to me, Florence. They're not true. I love Louis, yes. I loved him long before you came to the Tyrol. And it isn't a happy thing. It's brought nothing but sadness into my life. I've done my best to hide it since he married you.
You forced your way into our house.
It was a mistake coming here, I know. After Lena went to Paris and the three of us were thrown more on each other, I wanted to go live with Max and Tony, but you wouldn't allow it. You said Tony was an unstable influence.
I was a fool to think Antonia could harm you. You're worse than she is, much worse.
Florence, you can't mean all this.
You speak of love. What do you know of it?
I know all about it.
What do you mean by that?
Florence, don't look at me like that. I've done you no harm.
I want the truth. You've been carrying on with Louis all these months, haven't you? I'll make you speak, you dirty little...
Let me go! Oh, you're vile, vile! And I thought you were good and noble. Oh, I wish I were dead! I wish I were dead!
Tessa! There's a chair. Carla...
Let me sit in the kitchen with you a minute, Roberto. Oh, Roberto, why did we come to live with civilized people? Well, they're horrible. Now I'm trapped with them forever. I've let the only person in the world who could have saved me go away.
Poveretta, Signora Florence scold you again?
If she comes in here looking for me...
No, she will come. Look out the window. She go in taxi, see?
He's gone off with my ticket to the concert.
You take mine. I listen from backstage. Domenico Teatro let me in. He's once at La Scala. He remembers Sanger.
If you go backstage, you'll be able to see... Oh, Roberto, find me a pencil. I'm going to write a note to Louis. Tell him I'll be up front. I'll meet him after the concert. And I want you to take it to him as soon as you get to Regent's Hall, will you?
Oh, si, Tessa. You don't send Louis' letter to say goodbye?
Goodbye? No. I'll never say that to him again. Not as long as I live.
Your room.
Yes, it is indeed.
But so is paradise. Voilà. Entrez. Entrez donc.
What's wrong, Tess? The stairs too much for you?
I wouldn't make a very good mountain climber.
She's quite pale, La Gorge. She suffers.
I was ill, madame, crossing from England on the boat.
Oh, the boat. One comprehends.
You sure that's all it is, Tess? No pain in your chest?
I'll be all right, Louis. In a minute.
You sit down. Don't try to talk. Get your wind back.
So she is one of Sanger's, huh?
Yes.
Ah, that man. It is not to be expected that any daughter of his would die an old maid. How old are you, mon enfant?
16, madame.
16? Sure. What a hurry the girls are in nowadays. Oh, but how cross Monsieur Louis looks at me. Je comprends, mon vieux, je comprends bien. I leave you now alone.
She's a body, old thing. But she was fond of Sanger. She'll hold her tongue if anyone comes asking for us. You don't mind the way she talks to you, my dearest?
Oh, I suppose not. But, Louis, if I'm not what she thinks I am, what am I? Would you call me if you were someone else?
I couldn't ever again call any woman by a name that sounded too harsh for you. I'll always think now that she may mean to some man what you mean to me.
Then it's all right. Don't look so worried, dear heart. Other people are completely unimportant.
Tessa, you're all done in, aren't you?
Oh, I feel better,
Lie down and rest. Lie unpack.
I think I shall. Oh. This bed's like a stone quarry, but it does feel good. Where do you get the energy to unpack?
I haven't got much more than a toothbrush and these music scores. Just as well we're traveling light, though.
You mean this may not be for long?
Well, of course I don't, my love. It'll be for the rest of our lives.
Florence?
Oh, forget Florence.
She'll be sure now that what she said about us was true.
Why should you care? We gave you a bad time, didn't we, Florence? And now you were... caught in the middle with no place to escape.
That's all over now. I have escaped.
To what? To this hole?
No, Louis. To you. to myself.
Now, just the same, we'll leave here tomorrow. There must be better places.
I think you'll find they'll all look much the same after we've been in them. Sheets of music everywhere. A bag of apples, perhaps. Your frowsy yellow scarf flung over a chair. Dear, funny places. Our places.
Sweet Tess, we shan't always be running away.
What else? I knew that when I came. That's how it was meant to be for me. But, oh, my darling, I've never belonged anywhere I've been. Until this very moment. Oh, it's so stuffy in here.
Here now, don't you get up, Tess. You rest a little longer.
I'm just going to open the window. It must be stuck. I can't.
Here, let me try.
Fudge. Louis, I can't.
Tess, what is it? Tess.
Louis, the pain's so bad.
No, Tess, don't try to move. I'll carry you back to the bed. We'll get a doctor in. Tessa, open your eyes. Can you hear me?
Louis.
Oh, my sweet, sweet love. It'll be all right. There now. You'll be all right in just a minute. I'll call Madame Moxie to get a doctor.
Don't go away. Don't leave me, Louis. Lean closer. So dark. Oh, Louis. Lean closer, so I can see your face. Such a very nice face.
Oh, no. No. No, Tessa! She's gone. She's escaped. Before this filthy world could hurt her, Tessa.
From Studio One at CBS, you have just heard Fletcher Markle and Rosemary Rice, starring in Mr. Markle's production of The Constant Nymph by Margaret Kennedy, another of the world's great stories from radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment. Tonight's script was prepared by Elizabeth and James Hart, and the original musical score was composed and conducted by Cy Feuer. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground,
Tessa Sanger.
Was played and very handsomely played by Rosemary Rice.
Lawrence Churchill.
Was played by Kathleen Cordell.
Charles Churchill.
Was Hedley Rennie.
Tony Sanger.
Was Mitzi Gould.
Lena Sanger.
Was played by Betty Filson.
Max Kleber.
Was Jack Lloyd.
Sebastian Sanger.
Was played by Michael Artist. Actively assisting were Gregory Morton, Lily Valenti, and Miriam Wolfe. Louis Dodd was played by your producer. And now in this concluding minute of this concluding broadcast in the current Studio One series, may I sound a warm word of gratitude and appreciation for the many, the very many, wonderful people who have been with me in the past 63 weeks in Studio One. Stars who came to us from Hollywood and the stage, our regular acting company, the writers, composers, conductors, musicians, and technical associates who've contributed so very much, week after week. And there must be a couple of special words to acknowledge our particular gratefulness to you. You out there listening, and your encouraging letters and postcards. I think perhaps those words are two very old ones, often scarcely noticed, but meaning so much. Thank you. Please to listen again in the fall, when on October the 8th, the Ford Theater returns to the air on CBS and the stations to which you're now listening. I'll be joining the Ford Motor Company every Friday night and bringing you full-hour versions for listening of more celebrated stories performed for you by celebrated stars of Hollywood and Broadway. Until the return of the Ford Theater on October the 8th, and until our first Friday night together on CBS, This is Fletcher Markle with a last good night and a thank you from the heart from all of us in Studio One.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.